Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And now,
it's time for
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast.
Welcome back to Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast. I'm Jesse Gaskell. This is Mike Sweeney.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
We're writers for Conan.
We're
striking writers. We're on strike. Anything that is covered under Writers Guild contract, we cannot work. We're not working.
I can't. I'd love to be able to, but I just simply can't.
We are forbidden from working. I'd love to get back to work too, but once this is all sorted out, this happens from time to time.
We will. Yeah, we were in the middle of filming a new Conan travel series.
Right.
Which we hope to get back to.
We did two episodes. We came back on a Saturday and Tuesday, following Tuesday, we're on strike and everything shut down.
Yeah. So we have a lot of footage that we have to look through once we go back.
If it
it's just been
exists.
Sitting. I know. It's covered in cobwebs.
I know. I'm worried about all the time going by between shooting it and then sitting down and watching it.
I know. I already have no memory. As soon as we land back on U.S. soil, I have no memory of what we did.
I know. I'll be like, why did we go to that market? Or we'll be dazzled by what we shot.
Yeah, this is great. I'd watch this.
We'll have a clear eye. That'll
That's true.
For
clear eyes and full hearts.
Whether it's good or bad. I was driving the other day and our show was on Sirius.
Oh my
and I
God.
Heard the, I always immediately change. I can't hear my voice, but I heard the opening theme.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. I can't believe I've never heard it. I remember we recorded it.
So long ago, I know.
Yeah, and just it's you and I talking at the same time. And
yeah.
There's echo added to it. And then the song sounds like it was recorded in a dungeon or something on a Mellotron or some awful circus instrument.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But not a good cat, like a Casio that you... Like you give to 2-year-olds that play like old McDonald's and stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Wow. I wish you'd brought this up before our second to last episode of the season.
Of our fourth season. I do too. I someone should have pointed it out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we should have listened to the podcast at some point.
I know. Maybe it's great.
It's fine. I don't know. At least it's over quickly. That's a good thing. I mean, and it's not like we could get Jack White to record our podcast intro.
You know, Taylor Swift's re-recording all her albums. Maybe she'll come in and re-record her opening.
I bet she would.
I think that's a reasonable request.
She's got time.
She's got a lot of time.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe we can look into a better intro if we do more episodes.
Okay. Yes. We'll really jazz it up.
Or we can squat on this one and just...
Let's double down on this one.
Maybe we don't deserve better than that.
Yeah, you're probably right. Anyway.
Well, I just got a text this morning I wanted to tell you about because it made me laugh. It was a woman that I haven't spoken to in a long time, but we used to be neighbors, and she in documentaries.
Okay.
And she texted me because she had a Conan-related question, and she said that she was hoping you might be able to point me to the right person. I'm needing to license some footage from the show for a Netflix documentary. Oh. My archival person has the following contact info, but she said she's reached out many times and hasn't gotten a response. And then it's Jordan Schlansky's email.
Get out of here.
Yes. So we have definitive proof that he does nothing.
And it's the correct email?
It's the correct email.
Oh my goodness. I know. Hmm. And she hasn't heard anything back.
No.
Maybe it's like a true crime. Maybe there's footage that indicts Conan in a murder. So Jordan is like,
he's
under strict orders not to reply.
Maybe. I mean, you think otherwise Jordan would be on top of that?
Sadly, Jordan is very good about returning an email.
Okay. Well, that's unfortunate. I was really hoping he just hadn't opened his laptop for weeks.
Maybe he's away. Well,
we can look into this though.
Let's look into it. What's a documentary about?
I don't know. I'll have to get some more. I'll do some digging.
Okay. You know what? I have something to correct.
Yeah.
I know it's not a correction. I have something to add. I was also in my car. I heard Conan talking to Harrison Ford.
Yeah. Harrison Ford.
Yeah, he was on the podcast. And they were talking about the time Harrison Ford destroyed, speaking to Jordan Schlansky, destroyed his Millennium Falcon Lego model.
Right. Hilarious moment. Right,
it's a very popular clip on YouTube. And Harrison Ford kind of spilled the beans and said, oh, well, you know, listen, it wasn't really Jordan's Millennium Falcon. It was someone in a prop house, you know, you had someone in props build it and present it. So
why did he ruin it?
He ruined it. He gave it away. So, well, now that the cat's out of the bag, I feel the full disclosure. It's only fair to say that Millennium Falcon belonged to writer Andre Dubuchet.
Right.
And
so it really was a beloved possession of somebody.
It was.
Jordan's.
Yes, it had pride of place in his office behind his desk.
Yeah.
And he was an impressive piece of work. And it took him quite a while, obviously, to put it together. And he generously volunteered it for that
segment. For sacrifice.
Yes, I don't know who put him on, who asked him. I don't think it was me. I don't know, whoever produced that segment, I'm guessing. And he immediately said, yes, I'd be happy to help out. And I always wonder did all the pieces just get dumped? I don't think he wanted it back. He was just like, destroy it.
Put it back together again. Yeah.
I think he loved the idea of Harrison Ford destroying it. That gave it
It does. Fun. It's almost like that Banksy that got shredded immediately at Christie's auction. And now it's worth more than it was before.
He should have auctioned off each individual piece. and
he still could.
If he's got the pile somewhere.
Destroyed that would probably by got swept Harrison into Ford. The garbage. Well, I'm glad that you pointed out that error in Harrison Ford's interview.
Yeah.
It wasn't, the Millennium Falcon didn't come from a prop house. It came from a real human being.
Yes. In his writer's office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, we often have errors pointed out to us by our listeners.
Yeah.
And we also get questions from our listeners.
We get tons of fan questions.
Yeah, we get tons of fan questions. So we thought, why not do a whole episode of fan questions? We have so many good ones that we haven't had a chance to answer yet this season.
We did think that. And we're going to do it, right?
We're going to do it
Okay. I know we thought it. But yes, let's do it.
I think let's do it now.
Yeah. I'd love to answer fan questions. It's one of my favorite things.
Right. Yeah.
I'm always impressed by the more obscure they are, the more excited I get.
The memory that people have, I know.
Especially the old late night show, I think some people were watching it during their formative years. So certain comedic things. I mean, don't you have stuff from when you were a teen that you saw
that just stuck in there?
Stuck forever and ever. Yes. And they're just like light bulbs that don't go out.
Yeah, I know. So it really is kind of my favorite part of the show is hearing from listeners.
Yes.
So here's our episode full of questions.
All right, here's our first question.
Hello, love the pod. I think I have listened to every episode since finding you guys about a year ago now. Oh, wow. My question, as far as I know, there hasn't been any mention of in the year 2000 on the podcast. Who was behind the bit? What was the writing process? Who came up with the song? So many questions. Love you, Naveed.
Too many questions.
I think we can take them all, though.
Sure. Let's try.
Yeah, the in 2000, the year 2000. That's one of the most famous.
It was a signature sketches. Bit on Late Night. And there a book came out in the comedy section. If anyone can find it, I dare you to find that book. It's probably available on eBay.
It's like a coffee table book?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
It's less than that.
And it's not even a nightstand
book.
It's a nightstand if it has a lower shelf book.
Okay.
Yeah, it's where you can put it.
It's a coaster.
It's a coaster book. Now, there's a lot of good jokes in it. But anyway, the year 2000, I didn't know, you know, I started on the show in 95, well into the run of the Late Night. It started in 93, of course.
Yeah.
Including with the year 2000. I had no idea. So I investigate. I talked to Michael Gordon, who's one of the original writers.
Uh-huh. They're from day one.
Exactly. And then he knew that it was done in something called Happy Happy Good Show, which was a show done during the summer in Chicago with Conan, Robert Smigel, a guy named Dave Reynolds, who was also one of the original Conan writers, and Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And if there's anyone else that was in the cast, I apologize. I only know those fellows.
But, send us an angry email.
Right. But it was a bit in that show, live show they did in Chicago that summer. Yeah. And I got in touch with Dave Reynolds, who said that Bob Odenkirk, there's a video of the show that I found out exists. I think that would be a great podcast episode for Conan to do.
For sure.
I'm just going to throw that out
there. Wow. Are you allowed to pitch things right now?
I don't. Oh,
no. Yeah. It's a podcast. It's
fine. This isn't covered by the Writers Guild. But so in the live show, Bob Odenkirk sang the song because Naveed's asking who came up with in the year 2000. So Dave wasn't positive, but he thinks maybe Odenkirk came up with the song. But he thinks all the whole
falsetto,
team. Falsetto. The team came up with the idea. So Conan, he said they all kind of came up with it together.
That's
one of those
That's
room
a great backstory.
Yeah. And then it was like, oh, okay. When Late Night started, they're like, well, we got one thing we can do. and that's...
Wow. I wonder if Odenkirk has talked about that. Like if
he'll deny it.
I know.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
No, that's a good... Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. Well, cool. And then it became La Bamba's voice.
That La Bamba.
From the Max Weinberg 7.
Right. Who has an, you know, perfect falsetto voice for that.
Yes.
Yeah. So he would sing that.
And would he do it live?
He did it live.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd do it in between every joke.
Right.
And, you know, we did that bit for years and it was always Conan and Andy. And then when Andy left, we started getting celebrity guests to do it, which was fun. It was also scary. You found out certain people were better at it than other people.
I bet.
As you can imagine.
Yeah.
There are just certain people.
Because it was live, so that was always.
It was live. Yeah. So, I mean, everyone who did it was pretty good. But someone like, you know, William Shatner doing it, I don't know. It just, people loved that.
Oh, God, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Or
perfect.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin. Or just people with incredible, you know, instruments. Vocal instruments.
Right. So, okay. So this started in the early 90s, but right. after the year 2000, did you change the year?
Everyone, you know what?
It's no longer a prediction.
Everyone just sailed right through. Like, it was kind of like, I think one person was like, it's going to be the year 2000. It's not the future anymore. And
it barely was the future then.
And everyone was just listen, people know it that way. We're not going to change it.
Yeah.
So we just sailed through the aughts, still calling it in the year 2000. And then it wasn't until The Tonight Show that it got changed to in the year 3000. And that we came up, you know, those guys used to... Conan and Andy, and then Conan and the guests would hold flashlights under their faces.
Uh-huh.
But for The Tonight Show, we came up with these elaborate lit kind of collars that would come down from the ceiling.
You had so much more money.
Yes. And that's probably why The Tonight Show didn't work out, is because we changed the name and added these ridiculous collars that didn't work.
Oh, it was that one misstep. It
didn't quite work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's...
That's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The origin story.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Thanks, Naveed. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
We've got another one.
Yes.
We're going to keep these rolling.
All right.
Rapid fire. This is from Josh.
I love Josh.
Josh asks, I'm curious if you could describe the late night show's relationship with Mr. T. How'd you figure out he'd be good in bits? Where'd that start? Conan always seemed to play well off of him. One remote I never see mentioned is apple picking with Mr. T, and it's one of my favorites.
That is a great remote.
It's a great remote.
It's very funny. I hope young people know who Mr. T is? I hope so. We're getting the thumbs up
from that remote they know.
Very youthful producer.
we've never talked about that remote because for a while we had been trying to get Mr. T on the podcast.
A while, like three seasons.
Yeah.
and back on Conan on TBS for years, we were trying to get Mr. T because he was such a staple on the late night show, especially in the aughts, the last 8 years of the show. He'd be booked as a guest and we'd have so many comedy pre-tape ideas that we wanted to do with him.
Yeah.
I remember one time he was there, he's like, you guys are killing me. We were like,
oh no,
like,
we killed
Mr. T. That was great. Man, maybe that's why we haven't been able to get him.
Because we're tired.
But we just, and Conan's like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, he's money in the bank.
Yes, we need the whole year's worth of Mr. T.
And we were just banking bits and we'd shoot him things that we could, you know, sit on the shelf for a few months. But I'm, you know, because you need stuff every day, I'm sure we used all the Mr. T stuff within 5 days.
Use all of that buffalo.
Yeah, yeah. But this is a great question. And I looked into it.
Mm.
And I talked to Ellie Baranczyk. She was a writer she's the original writer's coordinator.
Right.
When it all started.
Yeah.
So she was there when the show assembled. It has great stories. And when she was a writer, she told me all this. I didn't know any of this. Mr. T was a guest on the show and she loved his rapport with Conan. And also he had a hilarious laugh. Like it was kind of this snorting laugh. A giggle.
Yeah.
And she's from Chicago. Where Mr. T's from and still lived even after he became famous. And so she had a fondness for him. She pitched the idea, like, they have a great chemistry. What if they do something like go apple picking?
Yeah.
And boom. Yes, that's a great idea.
Which is so perfect because it's...
Yeah, it is perfect. But she
had... masculine and it's such a... Yeah.
But yes. Yeah, right, exactly. You're talking about Conan. And then Mr. T, of course. But then she had another detail that... I really liked to hear. She said in Chicago, Mr. T would drive around and he had a Rolls Royce convertible with Mr. T license
plate. You got to.
And she said that was a big, in the 80s in Chicago, if you got a sighting of Mr. T, that was like, okay, it was bragging rights. It was such a great sighting. Like, what's her name in LA?
Yeah, no, just thinking that.
Evangeline?
Evangeline,
right? The woman in the pink...
I don't think that's her name.
Angeline?
Angeline, yes.
Angeline,
yes.
She still drives around.
Yeah, that pink Cadillac.
And she'll... Because my wife got a photo with her.
Oh, she did?
She's like, can I get a photo? And she's like, 50 bucks. Yeah. So anyway...
Oh, that's great.
So she ordered up a white... Rolls-Royce convertible for the remote with a Mr. T license plate. And then for the end of it, a Mr. C for Conan.
Yes.
So that was a great detail. I thought that was really interesting.
Really, that is fun.
Yeah, because I would watch it go, you don't think about what went into that, but it came from Ellie's very specific growing up in Chicago.
Right.
So,
and so that was the first time that Mr. T was kind of used in this.
In a comedy. Other than being a guest.
Yes.
And then that was such a big hit. And there's two parts to it. There was the remote. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of days later, Conan showed the outtakes of the remote, which was a compilation of Mr. T giggling throughout the whole shoot, which is hilarious. That's really great. Funny. It's on Facebook. I found it on Facebook.
Autumn, oh, autumn, my soul needs your spirit. Needs the caress of your amber leaves. But shh, listen to that rustling.
That's the giggle.
You looked at me on the. I started. I love that laugh you got.
What?
That was great.
That's great.
Oh, yeah.
It is infectious.
Oh my God. It's you can't, we were both cracking
it's
up.
It's the COVID of laughs.
Yeah, it's pretty great. So so that was it, you know, between the actual remote, which is hilarious, and these outtakes, it was like more tea. So we started using them in all different comedy bits.
Yeah.
And he had a really memorable moment in the 10th anniversary special. And he became a friend of the show. And that man would walk in the building and light up the entire floor. I've never seen anyone with that kind of wattage.
Yeah. And just money in the bank comedy-wise.
Yeah. But just a great guy. He's just a great guy. And just, he literally put everyone in a good mood.
Aw.
Yeah.
It's so great to hear that about celebrities.
Yes.
Well, Mr. T, if you're listening, we love you. There's always a spot for you here on the podcast.
Yeah. I think he has better things to do.
I hope he does.
I hope so too.
Another question?
What? There's more.
There's so much more. Okay. We're just getting started.
All right.
Hi, Jesse, Mike, and all the lovers at ICP. I've been a Conan fan for years, and I mean years. I was raised on Bob Newhart, Tom Lehrer, and Stan Freberg records in the 80s and was a sophomore in college in 1993 when Conan debuted. So you can do the math there. I love hearing
I can't. I know. But anyway, it's too much.
You overestimate us.
Stan Freberg, Tom. Okay.
I love hearing about old recurring sketches, but the one I've never heard any talk of on any of the pods is the one with the two alien visitors who would pop in at the bottom corners of the screen wearing black cowls and Conan would talk to them. That's about all I can remember. I can't even remember the writers involved, but if you could dredge up any memories about the sketch, you'd dislodge a major brain block for me.
My God.
Thanks for the pod from an old timer, John.
Oh my God, we're going to perform neurosurgery.
A brain block surgery, yes.
This is so exciting. John, I love this question.
I know. Well, and this, I didn't, when the way that he described the sketch, it didn't register for me which one it was.
Right, I know
but then
it
when
is.
We started watching it,
yes.
I was like, oh, okay, this
yeah,
one.
I dug up a clip of it.
Yeah.
Because the sketch was known as Jeremy and Ira.
Yes.
So who's going to remember that?
How are you going to search that?
And they weren't aliens, God damn it, John. They were
from
an alternate
dimension.
Another dimension.
But they did have, I mean, they were mostly human, but they had alien qualities.
It was two writers who came up with it and wrote it. I'm sure they came up with it in the writer's room probably at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Or maybe 11 p.m. Because
it's not
so
an
simple.
Idea that happens during daylight.
No, no. their heads come in and it was John Glazer, hilarious John Glazer.
Yep.
And Brian Stack, equally hilarious, both great performers. And they would just, their heads would come in.
They would just lean in.
They would lean in. So in the studio, they would literally just be down in front of Conan's desk.
Oh, they were that close.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they were on a green screen or something.
No, no.
Oh,
they literally just leaned their heads in.
So
they were in the camera shot and then they pulled their heads out.
Yeah.
So if you deconstructed it, you'd see them sitting right in front of Conan's desk.
But in frame, all you'd see is their heads.
Just their heads.
And they were wearing these black hoodies.
Black hoodies. And they never talked.
They never talked.
But so Conan and Andy would ask absurd, just they would, either they'd only nod yes or no.
Yeah, and Conan and Andy would somehow guess.
Yes.
What they,
they had in,
what they were doing
right,
there.
Right, right.
Yes.
So, so we'll have to put up some clips of Jeremy and Ira.
And it's really funny. And you did a lot of them.
It's so simple.
I don't even understand how you would come up with this.
Dumb, smart. Well, it's just funny.
Yeah.
It's funny and as silly as it is.
Yeah, because it's and the time. I mean, their performances are really good.
They're great.
They're just have great comic timing.
Yeah, and, yeah,
yeah. But it's all they do is just nod and shake their heads,
and they're kind of playing off each other, but they're also playing off of Conan and Andy. So it's so simple but fun to watch. And so we'll put some up. Jeremy and Ira is
Jeremy
the name
and
of the
Ira.
Bit. I hope that helps. I hope that helps your brain block. God,
I know.
What if he's been like in a hospital? In a hospital bed for 12 years.
Yeah, in a coma.
Yeah. John, please come back to life.
Yeah, we're here for you, John.
Okay, well, there can't possibly be any more questions.
There are! Oh my God, there are so many more.
Okay.
Well, not that many more.
No, I love it. I love them all.
I think this question is basically just for you. Hey, Mike and Jesse. Craig from Australia here. Love the show. I'm not going to do an accent.
No, don't try it.
It would be.
And then you got to add,
insulting.
All the slang.
Yeah.
The awesome Crikey. Slang.
Right. I read that Team Coco wanted to release the 25 years of late night shows on the Team Coco website. However, because of the licensing issues with the music, the whole episodes weren't able to be released on the internet. Is this true? And do you think you'll be able to release the archive of late night shows one day? Yours sincerely, Craig.
Well, Craig, thank you. And thank you for writing. Craig, all the way from Australia after a delicious brekkie. 25 years of late night. It's 16 years of late night, for God's sake.
25 years of total.
The music was an issue. Everything that's been put back up from late night, we had to swap.
Yeah. Well, there was even that one of those Jeremy and Ira sketches you showed me has a Queen song in it.
Right.
How are you supposed to?
Right. I don't know what we're going to do about that.
Yeah.
Because that someone else put that up online.
Mm-hmm.
Team Coco didn't put that up.
Right.
So we'll have to cross that bridge. But right now, the website Conan O'Brien has been putting out one or two old late night clips a week.
And the website is ConanO'Brien.com.
It's Conan O'Brien.
I didn't even know this existed
on YouTube.
Until
it's a channel on YouTube that
you
is.
You told me about it.
Yeah, it's kind of growing and growing. Mm-hmm. And two to three clips, I just added a third one, a week are being released on there. And
who's selecting those clips?
Do you want me to tell you? Jordan Schlansky. Jordan
They're
is doing
all
it.
Clips of Jordan.
They're all Jordan centric. Huh. It's him just at home. It's like, I don't remember shooting Jordan on his couch watching a Star Trek, but there it is.
Jordan working out again.
Yeah. So, and also I think it's fair to announce that a lot of the clips from late night, the audio clips are going to start appearing on the Conan Sirius channel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. On Team Coco Radio.
Wow, it's so much content. I mean, it's really kind of overwhelming.
It's 2,250 episodes.
What?
We figured out once. That's like, if you just watch them through, I think it and started January 1st, just late night would take you through May.
Wow.
Yeah.
Without sleeping.
Without sleeping.
Yeah.
Actually, back in late night, the head writer's room had these closet shelves with every VHSs of every episode. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. So if a writer
it's like
wanted,
at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you just pull out. Oh, it's so many episodes.
There were no miracles on those shelves. But sometimes
lots of Nazi memorabilia.
Yeah. That's for an expose that's coming out soon. What's next? We have more questions.
We do. Can I take this one?
Oh, thank you. I'm going to read this question. I was watching the newest season of Married at First Sight. Have you seen that show?
I haven't watched it, but I'm aware of the premise. Do you guys watch it?
I'm not going to admit that I watched
it
a whole season. I would never admit that I watched season one. What are you...
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Oh, I love imagining You watching that? At home?
Imagine with no longer. Come over tonight and we'll watch
glass
season
of wine.
Two.
Yes.
Of course. A nice glass of Gruner Vintliner. Okay, here we go. I was watching the newest season of Married at First Sight and was tickled by this new couple's conversation, just in case Conan's ego needed more inflating. Love the podcast, by the way. You've got a great team and good banter. Okay. But of course, this is someone who likes Married at First Sight. So
yeah, that's their favorite comedy show.
It's a little damning. Stay awesome, Lauren Lindauer Clark. Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren.
But it's not a question.
It's not a question.
But we're going to play this clip. I'd love to hear what this clip is. Okay, so here's a couple that got married without meeting each other first. And I think this is like they've been married a couple of days and it's getting to know you sessions.
Yeah.
Because they just met. So
right.
Here's a snippet.
The experts asked me, like, what do I find attractive and an example of a celebrity or something? And I said Conan O'Brien.
Conan? Conan and I don't look at anything alike.
No, you don't. But I like how he owns his, like, lankiness, his awkwardness, and it's part of his humor. And honestly, he's my hall pass. I'm just going to tell
you. Wow.
I like Conan so much that I'd be okay with that.
Oh, really?
He didn't have to be a hall pass.
You can share
just
your wife.
Go for it.
Yes!
If I can watch.
Yes!
Oh, my God. Whoa. It's a...
Wow.
A three-way.
A threesome. Conan's... On behalf of Conan, I think we have to say, wow. He would be growling hard.
Yeah.
Over here.
Man, if he's doing a show right now, that would be a great remote.
Yeah.
Just
sitting with them and letting them
three-way and where are the jokes
go to
in
town.
This? Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's pretty.
Oh man.
Conan is someone's hall pass.
I know. And I love that it kind of turned out like maybe he was both of their hall passes.
It sounded that way.
Yeah.
It sounded like if that couple is going to stay together,
it seems like they are based on
that. Seems like the cement
mutual attraction to Conan.
That's quite a tribute to Conan.
Yeah,
bringing people together. I wonder how many other couples have bonded, and how many people have divorced over.
Yes,
one of them liking Conan.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, that wasn't a question.
I think we will have to share that with Conan immediately.
Oh yeah, he'll love that.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
So what's our next question?
Well, we're back with David Hopping.
Hello.
Hello, David. You're Conan's assistant.
Yes.
And a frequent guest on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
I've heard you on there.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
You're fantastic.
Oh, yeah. That's a lie, but thank you.
You're a breath of fresh air.
Oh, thanks.
Well, we wanted to talk to you because we got this question that we thought you might be able to help us answer.
Okay.
It says, hi, Mike and Jesse. What's the story behind the remote Conan trains his successor with David Hopping? How did David Hopping get picked for this segment? And more importantly, which writer was responsible for it? Anyway, I love the podcast. Lourdes. Do you remember doing that remote, David?
I do.
Oh, good.
It's all gone. You were the writer for that, right?
I was.
Yeah.
Oh, what a happy ending.
But I'm glad that you're here because I don't remember a lot of it.
I don't remember how I got picked. I remember you telling me I was picked, but I don't know how I got picked.
Well, to be honest, I think I pitched it more broadly than that. I pitched it just as Conan training a successor.
Okay.
Like he was going to leave the empire to somebody and needed to have somebody that...
So you pitched,
it was
your idea.
Yeah, it
I
was
love
my
it.
Idea.
That's great.
But I didn't say specifically who the person would be.
Uh-huh.
And somehow in the writer's room, we talked and you became the guy.
Wow.
Yeah. So one thing that I can't believe when I look back on this was you weren't even Conan's assistant at that time. You were a PA on the show.
Yeah.
What was your title?
I was personal PA for Conan and Jeff.
Okay.
So I reported to Sona.
Okay, so you were Sona's assistant.
Yeah.
And so how much interaction had you actually had with Conan?
I had quite a bit. Like from day one, I remember Sona brought me in and wanted me to get to know Conan like right off the bat.
Because,
I mean, I was immediately like, you know, running his personal errands and stuff like that.
Yeah, cleaning his underwear.
Exactly. Just normal things that you go to college to learn.
Right away.
So you already kind of had a shtick with Conan. Was he already making fun of you for things?
Oh, yeah, right away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was his, what was he getting you for? Like, what was his thing with you?
I mean,
yeah.
Being from a small town, I think, is the, in the Midwest is like the number one thing that is still stuck around.
Yeah. Oh, well, once it's locked in.
It's never leaving.
It's never leaving.
Yeah.
You could become mayor of New York City and you'd still be the guy from Carlin. Rural Illinois. Yeah.
And oh my gosh, this is just making me remember. Was there something in like your hometown paper about this?
With front page?
Yes!
Oh my God.
Yeah, I still have it framed in my apartment.
That's fantastic. we need to get a picture.
Oh yeah, I can
know.
Send a picture. All right, yeah.
So that's after great. This remote aired, that... That ran in your paper?
Yeah, they reached out and like did like an interview with me. Oh,
they reached out. You didn't call them. Guys, do I have a scoop for you? Hometown boy makes good.
So they reached out. Sweet.
They reached out. They did like an interview. Oh. Conan and I took a picture and sent it to them. And yeah.
Wow. So people back home, you won essentially.
That day I did.
Yeah. Have you gone back for a high school reunion?
No, they did a 5-year reunion, but I missed it because I was here.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And then
yesterday.
The 10-year got canceled because of COVID. So
all right.
15 will be my time.
Okay. Well, you're going to go back.
Don't feel you need to go to any high school reunions.
But if you've been Conan's successor.
Either way, you're going to be like, no one will give you the satisfaction.
Okay, well, we disagree on
this. I want to hear about what happened at your high school reunion.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, sorry about it.
Yeah, whatever you assume, it's true.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It was fine. had you been on camera before that?
I think just like as an extra in a couple
sketches. Were you in the intern? Conan gets to know the intern?
No, that was the group before me. My first thing was the... Star Wars Nerdgasm Choir, if you remember that one.
I don't, but I love it. And you know what? This speaks very well of you, David, because if the writers together in a room are like zeroed in on you, that means, I think, don't you agree? Like in everyone's exposure to David, they're like, oh, you know what? He's a cool guy. He'd be good on camera.
For sure. Yeah. Because we knew that you weren't going to get too hammy, that you were going to kind of be able to be yourself.
Oh, that's nice.
Throughout it. Yeah. And I think we just thought it was a funny, I don't know that, like, because you, you're so game for everything, you just have to like say yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so we knew Conan would enjoy telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And that you would probably say yes.
The whole thing was just to repeat after Conan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're very all American. I mean, you're from Illinois.
Right.
Yeah.
The Carbondale area.
Carlinville.
God damn it.
Oh.
Isn't it near? Just tell me it's near.
It's like Carbon. 3 hours away. I think maybe.
It's so close. It's so close. A different state.
It's so close to each other.
Well, anyway, I know nothing about you.
Well, and another writer worked on this too, Levi McDougall.
Yes.
And I just vaguely remember us filming that day. We had to put you in a Conan wig.
The wig, yeah.
So that was kind of, you had to go into like extensive hair and makeup.
So extensive. No, I remember going down and they just like, yeah, put like some glue and then just basically stuck it on.
Slapped it on. Okay.
They glued it. You got extra special. They went the distance with you. And can I ask you guys, what was Conan, while you were shooting it, was Conan like, was part of him like, oh, someone to replace me, eh? Or was-
I think he wasn't too threatened.
I think
David.
I was so nervous the whole time that there was no threat.
Oh, you didn't seem nervous at all.
Yeah,
that's nice of you to say.
No, but seriously, that's I love hearing that.
Well, one thing I didn't remember, but when I was going back through old emails, there was actually, so the first segment went well. We basically got you dressed up and you did some monologue jokes and learned the string dance.
Yes.
Did you learn the nipple touch?
No.
No, okay. No, that's proprietary.
That one was too far, yeah. I guess.
Too advanced.
I wasn't prepared for that one.
But we were supposed to do a second installment of this.
Oh, yeah.
Where you were learning how to interview a celebrity.
Oh.
And we had reached out, and I know Paula Davis, our booker, had reached out to Mayim Bialik.
Oh, yeah.
And so you and Conan were going to interview her together.
I forgot about that.
I know. And then it never ended up happening.
I think one of the travel shows came up.
Oh, maybe that's what it was.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Never got done.
That's a shame.
It's
just
a shame.
One of those things that never got done.
Yeah. Just go back on TBS real quick. We'll just do it again.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep that in the can. If we ever come back, that's the first thing
we
we're
have
pitching.
A surprise for you. Here's my music.
I mean, in a weird way, though, you do. I mean, because now you are Conan's assistant and you know what he does almost better than anybody else. In a way, you really are most equipped to become his successor.
I guess so.
You know where all his wills are, probably.
I know. I mean, once I got the banking info, I knew it was, I knew I was in.
Oh my God. That's big.
How do we get in?
We'll talk later.
Okay. Why talk later?
So his credit card number is.
Yes. We also need the expiration and security number, of course.
And the billing zip code of
The billing zip code, yes.
And
will, yeah, you mentioned wills. Are we just any codicils with, I mean, we're kind of.
Oh yeah. Are we in Conan's will?
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? I actually don't know. That'll be a fun
Can
surprise.
Can you get us in there? You're the one with all the numbers.
They look at
the
everything
access.
And there's just a post-it with your names.
It would be like,
that's
succession.
Legally binding. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Is that an underline or a cross out? It's an exclamation point.
Well, thank you for walking down the hall to talk to us.
It was a really long walk.
We were worried halfway down here, you'd be like, I'm not doing this.
I'm over it.
Yeah.
Well, we have another question about office staff. And David, feel free to jump in on this one, too. This one is about somebody named Erica Brown.
Oh. Aww.
Yeah. Who declined to be interviewed for this. This one says, I have heard Erica Brown's name mentioned countless times over the last 10 years or so, but I don't think I've ever seen her on camera or heard her interviewed. What does she do? That's from Dan Spiffy Newman.
Oh, Spiff.
Classic Spiff.
That's a great, he's got eagle ears.
Yeah.
Not eagle eyes, because you will never see Erica Brown.
No.
No.
She's,
we asked her and she emphatically said, not in a million years would I do your podcast.
Right. Well, I knew that was going to be a hard no. Because we asked her for years to be in Office Bits.
Yes.
And it was always no. She could tell just by your body language approaching her.
She'd be like,
nope. No.
Well, do you guys remember when we would do like the staff photo on the stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, would she
I was
be hidden?
Next to Erica on one time, and like right before they took the picture, she just ducked.
No.
So now I think maybe she's in witness protection or something. Oh my God. She has a secret murdered? Life.
What? Well, so she wouldn't even
she
be.
She didn't want to be in it. Oh,
in that photo where it's 140 other people, she wouldn't
oh,
be in it.
Oh my God. I mean, listen, in a lot of ways, I respect it.
Oh yeah.
I so really, hard. I respect it really hard.
Everyone else that has worked here has at some point been used, been yeah, mined for comedy.
Everyone else
and
here
she
is a
has
ham.
Maintained her integrity.
Yes, that's the only word for it, integrity.
Yeah.
David, no offense to you.
No, but you,
oh, I lost
you,
my end.
Yeah.
I sold out so quickly.
You folded like a
no, you
house
were,
of cards.
You were help. You were trying to help the show.
That's all I was.
That's
there
all you
for.
Thought of. Yes. And Erica clearly
doesn't care about the show.
She doesn't
which might
care.
Be true. Well, let's say
again, integrity.
So Erica's technical position here is office manager.
Right. She's the first person we see when we come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, she's the first person you mm-hmm. see. I mean, she basically keeps the whole office running.
Yes. And she's fantastic.
She is fantastic. Oh, yeah, she's the best person to talk to when you walk in the door yeah. and then when you leave.
Yes.
But yeah, it is kind of like, you know, the lights wouldn't turn on without her because no one would know where the light switch is.
And it's so funny because, you know, some you meet some people where you're like, oh yeah, I could see them not wanting to be on, like they seem introverted or something, but she's so kind of
gregarious.
Telegenic
yeah,
and gregarious that... And then, and I think I remember the first time we asked her to be on, and she was just like, no. I think we were all scratching our head, like, wait, this doesn't
wait,
add
you're
up.
You're great. And you'd yeah. be, you'd, everyone would like you.
It is the only explanation you've hit on it is witness
I think
protection.
She's, yeah, I know. Yeah. She's running from something.
She's so important that it says Erica's house on the doormat when you walk into the office.
It does. Yeah. It yeah. literally says Erica's house.
Yep.
Yeah, wait, didn't Conan order that map for her?
He did. He came up to me one day and said that he wanted to get this for Erica. So we ordered aww. It online, got it, and then we all walked down to present it to her at her desk.
Oh, I bet she hated that.
Yeah.
It's like her worst nightmare.
Even that's too much attention.
I know.
Three people talking to her at once. It's like one at a time, form a line. Who's first?
Oh, that's so great.
She liked it, though.
She loved it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She deserved it. This is her house. She runs it all.
She does run it.
Well, it is. I feel like, I mean, we should amend Conan's will to have this house left to Erica.
Yeah. We have a lot. There's a lot of amendments.
There's a lot of amendments.
Well, she could contest the will because she has the mat.
I know. And she's been with the show since The Tonight Show? Or when would she
I think maybe
come on board?
Around that. Let's just say yeah.
Okay, we'll say yeah.
Yeah. She's been saying no to us since The Tonight Show. No. But we got her name on the show. Anyway.
We did. We got a shout out to her.
That's right, from Spiffy.
And, yeah, I mean, she's wonderful. We love her. She's a very hard worker, and she's just not a fame whore like the rest of us are, I guess.
I wonder what that's like.
I don't want to know. Thanks, David. I'm going to write you into the sequel to David Hopping's successor at large.
You can be our successor.
Oh,
yeah, that's
we're
right.
here to hand the podcast over to you.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, have a great time.
Technically, now I have, you know, replaced Conan and then Sona when she was on maternity
that's
leave
true.
And then Goalie
right.
when he was on paternity
right.
leave. Mm-hmm. So you guys are next.
Wow, what a downward trajectory for you. Holy cow. Sorry, David. Hey, show business is tough.
That is, though, I feel like you're maybe kind of the designated survivor of Team Coco. Like, there's always one person in government that goes to a different spot whenever Congress is meeting because
sure.
they don't right. want everybody to be killed at once.
Oh, that's
nice. So you
nice.
Would be that person, yeah.
And that's why you have all the bank records.
And that's why I'm writing
codes.
Myself into the will now.
Yes.
Exactly.
Another post-it next to ours.
Well, if we all get killed, we'll know who's responsible now.
Yeah. I think it's Erica
Brown.
Definitely Erica.
Well, thank you, David.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
For
thank you.
Hopping in
hey.
With some memories.
Thanks for Daviding your way over here. That doesn't work as well as hopping. Fuck. Fuck. That's why you're taking over.
Oh.
That's it.
That's it for our listener question.
I don't know how many we did. That went fast.
I know, it went by fast for us.
For us.
I hope it was fast for you guys.
That was fun. We really enjoyed answering all your questions. And please, for God's sakes, send us more questions.
Yeah. We just used up a bunch of them. So now we need more.
Give us a call at 323-209-1079 or email us at insideconanpod@gmail.com.
We got to wrap this up, but if you like the show, you can support us by rating Inside Conan on iTunes and leaving us a review. This has been wonderful.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
There's nothing else to say other than this. I mean, what could you say beyond this
that?
Is wonderful?
Oh, I just thought of something. We love you.
Oh, you can't speak for me. Okay. Yes, we both love you.
Inside Conan, an important Hollywood podcast, is hosted by Mike Sweeney and me, Jesse Gaskell.
Our producer is Lisa Burr.
Team Coco's executive producers are Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and Nick Liao.
Engineered and mixed by Joanna Samuel.
Our talent bookers are Gina Batista and Paula Davis, with assistance from Maddie Ogden.
Thanks to Jimmy Vivino for our theme music and interstitials.
You can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts.
And of course, please subscribe and tell a friend to listen to Inside Conan, or an enemy, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or whatever platform you like best.
I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Put on your hat, it's the Conan Show. Try on some spats, you're gonna have a laugh. Give birth to a calf, it's Conan!
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.